Well, good morning and welcome to each one. It's good to be together. Did you ever think about we were never together like this before? And we'll probably never be together like this again. But our prayer is that we'd all be together in heaven. As the last song talked about, the Lord is coming. We've heard that all of our lives, but that doesn't erase the fact that He is coming back again. As you see on the screen, the title of my message is, What is God Like? I feel very inadequate to bring this message to describe God, but He can be known. He wants us to know who He is. Did you ever have someone in your family meet someone that might be famous or well-known and you get to talk to them and you say, what was it like? What was it like to meet, you fill in the blank. I'm sure you all have a name pop into your mind. What was it like? What was he like or she like? What did they look like? How did they act? How did they treat you? Did they snub you off? Did they welcome you? What was this person like? You know, dads, that's a question we ask our daughters about prospective boyfriends. They want to know, maybe if he's cute or whatever they want to know about a guy. And after a period of discussion, we'll cut in and say, no, wait a minute. What is he really like? What's this guy really like? You know, the outside will deteriorate. He may lose his hair. He will get wrinkles. He will lose his muscles. But what's this guy really like? What's it going to be like when things get tough? And things aren't going so well. What's this guy like inside? That's what we want to know as dads. And my question, what is God like? So I'm going to do a shotgun blast. Then we're going to narrow it down to what is God like when it gets hard? When things get tough, will he be there? Not from the aspect that it's all about me, but when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, or I walk through the valley, what's God like? And, you know, I was thinking about this in relation to, Irvin talked about over in Iraq, and what the Christians are facing there. And what's God like in those moments when all hope is gone for them except Jesus, except God? You know, we all have a picture of God. Every culture, is this not a one? No. Every culture has a picture of who God is. And we studied in our lesson today of the gods of Egypt, and one of the gods was the god of the weather. And he was depicted as a god with throwing lightning darts, as more of an angry god. They had the sun god, the Ra god, they worshipped the most powerful thing, which is the sun. And they worshipped the sun. And there's other cultures who worship the unknown god. They think that God is everything. They get it mixed up with the omnipresence of God. And they worship everything. And then there's the people who says God is unknowable, and the agnostics, and they say God cannot be known. And so the question, who is God? What is God like? Did you ever spend time just pondering, what is God really like? Like, how can you describe God? Everyone is searching, and everyone has searched at one time and is still searching. What is God like? Who is God? And the truth is about God that it can be discovered. It's not invented. Truth exists whether we discover or not about God. It's independent of anyone's knowledge of the truth. The second thing is, truth is transcultural. That if something is true about God, it's true for all people of all times, in all times. In other words, two different people from two different cultures can't have differing views on who God is and what God is like, and both be accurate. If God is a certain way for us here, he's a certain way for the people in Iraq, he's a certain way for the people in South America, etc. In addition, my knowledge of God can increase. I can learn more about God. God is knowable. He desires us to know him. And best of all, what I learn about God doesn't change. Like today he's one thing and tomorrow he's another thing. And you can't quite figure this tricky dog God out. That's not my God. God is knowable and God does not change. Leading me to the third thing is God is unchangeable. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Even the truth about truth may change. For example, when they were discovering what the earth was like, they thought it was flat. Well, then they discovered it was round. Well, it didn't change the truth about the earth when they thought it was flat. It was still round. So, as we ascertain what God is like, we're simply discovering truths that already exist. Which leads to the foundation of truth. The concern is, what foundation is determined of what God is like? So first of all, God is an all-powerful God who created all things. God created everything. He's all-powerful. And the created beings that he created can only understand what God reveals to them. So God created us, and so as we try to understand who God is, it's through what he reveals to us. God desires to be known. Psalms 46:10, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Why did he say be still? Did he know that in 2014, no one sits still? Nobody sits still, hardly. If you sit still, what happens? You fall asleep. But he says, be still and know. God can be known. He wants us to know who he is and learn of his ways and learn more about God. Secondly, he was revealed through the inspired word. 2 Timothy 3:16-17. Every scripture is inspired by God. Is also profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, furnished complete in every good work. Today, that's a huge question in our world, the inspired word of God. That the Bibles that we hold in our hands or in our phones or in our wherever is just words of authors. And it's being undermined today greatly. Do you believe in your heart that God's word is the inspired word of God? Third thing is through the Holy Spirit. John 16:13 says, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of the truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. So God wants us to know who he is through learning about him, through his word, through the Spirit as he enlightens as we read. And then he sent Jesus to the earth to show us what the Father is like. John 14:7-9 says, if ye then know me, you would have known my Father also. From henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it will suffice us. Jesus said unto him, have I so long time with you, and thou don't know me? Philip, he that hath seen me, hath seen the Father. How sayest thou, show us the Father? So God came to earth in the form of Jesus, his Son, and showed us what it was like. That there is one God. I want to go now into some foundational truths. Wait a minute, back up a little bit. I was ahead of myself. Another foundational truth, there is one God. Deuteronomy 6:4, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. But yet, three in one, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Matthew 28:18-20, Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, All authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go therefore and make disciples in all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I command you. And lo, I'm with you, even to the end of the age. Amen. Perfect oneness, but perfect community. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit offering to us faith, hope. And 1 Corinthians 13:13 says, Now by his faith, hope, and love, these three. But the greatest of these is what? Love. Jesus showed love to all of us. John 3:16, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but has everlasting life. Foundational truths. And that love calls through the sacrifice. He calls sinners to repent. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Foundational truths that you can believe in about our God. Have you established them in your hearts about who God is? About our God. I want to move into some more of God is, and I have a few things to share on that. First of all, God created. First of all, God exists. In Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God. Never a question in Scripture. God was there from the beginning. And man today tries to explain it away. But it was never a question that in the beginning, God. In the beginning, God created. So simple, yet so powerful. That in the beginning of time, God created everything that is. And it baffles the human mind. But simple faith. God asks us to trust in simple faith and believe. The word in the Hebrew created was never used with anything else other than God created in Genesis 1:1. Albert Einstein said this, The theory of general relativity states that all time, space, and matter have a definite simultaneous beginning. What has began has a cause. That is the law of causality. Now, Albert Einstein didn't know that it was a simple answer. And that answer is God. God created. I'm sure most of you have seen the movie that God's Not Dead. And just the ends people go to try to disprove God, and that the beginning was God. I want to run through a list of some more things that God is as we take this big shot at who God is. God is almighty. I'm not going to return to all these passages, but just think with me. God is almighty. God is self-existent. God is above and beyond all creation. He is the creator. He is above and beyond all creation. He is sovereign. He's in control of all things. And that's where we struggle sometimes as human beings, is the sovereignty of God. Why God allows things into our lives. Why God allows sicknesses. Why God allows death. And the list could go on. But do we believe in a sovereign God? That he is in control of all things. Mark talked a little bit about last week. That we are just a small segment of history in God's big plan. And sometimes we think we are all important. But God has a plan, and he is sovereign. Isaiah 46:10 declaring the ends from the beginning, from ancient of times, things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. God is in control. We think of the sovereignty of God in relation to the nation of Israel. Someone has said, if you want to convince someone there is a God, just say the one word, the Jew. How God has protected that nation, that country, against where it shouldn't even be standing today. But God has protected his people. And the sovereignty of God is hard for us to comprehend, but do we believe in a sovereign God? God is a spirit and cannot be represented by anything. John 4:24, God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And cannot be represented by anything. God is a jealous God. And we see that in the life of the children of Israel, the idols that came into their lives, and how God had to take them on journeys to get rid of their idols. And we have idols in our lives today, in our worlds, in our that we serve other gods rather than the Creator. God is unchanging. God is all-knowing, all-present. That's my God. He's a huge God. And just like your daughter may be telling you all about this new boyfriend, he's a carpenter, he can bench press 350 pounds 10 times, etc., etc. And you really know what's the character of this guy. What is he really like? I'll talk a little bit about the character of my God, of our God. Luke 19:10 talks about he's seeking to save the lost. When I hear of people who have a heart for hurting people, a heart for those who have been less fortunate, the fatherless, the adoption, whatever, the people who have had a hard time in life, it just means so much to see the heart of that person. And the character of that person. I mean, that's who God is. He's seeking to save the lost, those who are hurting, those who are downcast. He is holy and just. Demands perfect holiness from his children through his Son Jesus Christ. And he is just. God believes in justice. He's compassionate. He's merciful. He's forgiving. He's long-suffering. You know, this is huge in understanding our God, because his whole reason for what's coming to come to earth was to save the lost, to take us back with him. 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord isn't really being slow about his promises, as some people think. No, he's being patient for your sake. He doesn't want anyone to be destroyed. But he wants everyone to come to repentance. What an awesome God. He didn't want anyone to perish. He's reaching out his hand. He's calling people to himself. And some people wonder, how long, Lord? It's because of the long-suffering of our God. He doesn't want anyone to be destroyed. And he's a judge. He's a just judge. I'm glad I'm not the judge. Sometimes it's hard to make decisions on important matters here on earth, but think about God being a just God. He will bring everything into account and be a just God. God gets angry. Angry at the sin of people. Angry at those who live falsely. Mark again talked about that last week, living a double life. And those who refuse to acknowledge the truth, God gets angry at sin. But most of all, the platform which our God operates is a platform of love. Everything I just talked about was done because of love. Because he wants to bring everyone to himself. He wants everyone to become a believer. That's my God. Love sent him to the earth. Love sent him to the cross. And he's calling out to you and me today to repent. So who is God to you? I did a very, 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 very fast description of who our God is. But the question is, who is God to you? God is God, and he will never change. People's beliefs come and people's beliefs go. But the truth of God will be live forever. And what have you learned, or what are you discovering about God through different situations of your life? And in your walk with God, what have you learned about who God is? How about in times of loss and sorrow, what have you learned about who God is? What about times of betrayal when your friends have deserted you and you're left all alone? Times of you feel that God's not answering your prayers. Or times of anger and frustration. What about in the good times of rejoicing, a blessing, of great mountaintop experiences? In times of answered prayer when God is... Yeah, you feel that God, you're really right next to the heart of God. And facing the unknown. Now I want to narrow it down to what's God like in facing the unknown. And again, you can think of a lot of people and your situation and the unknowns of your life. But I guess it was stirred with of what's happening in Iraq and the Christians there and what they're facing. What's God like in those times? My mind went to the story of Hagar in Genesis chapter 16. I'm not going to take time to read the chapter. I just want to tell you the story. It's the story of a woman who faced a lot of unknowns. She had a hard life. But it's a story that I want to show you how immensely God cares for you in those times. And as you listen to the story, maybe you'll discover, and maybe it'll be refreshed in your mind who God is, and wherever you're at in your life right now. Maybe she's where you're at. Maybe you'll connect with her, what she's going through, but not necessarily positionally in what she's going through. It's a story that she thought she was alone, but she wasn't alone. Hagar didn't have the best life. She was sold as a slave to Abram and Sarai, to their household. She was an Egyptian, far from home. As you recall the story, God had promised Abraham and Sarah a child, and that the nation would come from this child. Years went by, and Sarai became desperate. And this was about 10 years after they were in Canaan, and nothing was happening. And so Sarai says, "Why don't you take Hagar and have a child with her?" So that's what happened. We could talk a lot about the mistakes of Abram and Sarai. But Hagar had very little control of what was happening. She probably thought her life with Abram and Sarai would be pretty good, but it was getting worse and worse. She conceived, and this actually made Sarai angry, and this Hagar didn't treat Sarai very good. And so Sarai, I guess, complained to Abram about Hagar, and Can you imagine being Abram in the middle of this mess, trying to solve this problem with these women that were fighting? And Abram probably tried to stay out of the middle of it and said, you take care of it, and I'm going hunting, and when I come back, I hope everything's better. Some of my own words in there. But the Bible describes the end result as one short sentence saying that Sarah mistreated Hagar, and she fled. And she left and headed towards Egypt. Maybe you find yourself in a place where Hagar, life is out of control, and things are happening that is not very good, and you feel helpless and hopeless, and no one cares. First thing I want you to see in this story is that God sees our struggle. In Genesis 16, in this chapter, in verse 7, it says, the angel of the Lord found her by the fountain of water in the wilderness and by the fountain of the way Shur. Hagar was homeless, broke, she was pregnant in the vast wilderness. She was a nobody and had nothing to offer. And worst of all, the people who should have helped her kicked her out of the house, in other words. But I want to give you hope that our awesome God, who is a creator God, who is a source of life, did not abandon her. And God went to her, which leads me to the second thing I want you to remember. It's not only did God see, but God came down to her. And the angel of the Lord found her. Notes the specifics of where he found her. It says, in the wilderness, by the fountain of water, in the way of Shur. God knew the exact moment when she needed help. God knew what was going on. God knew where she was. And God came down and met her there. And in our darkest moments, when things get ugly and you think it can't get any worse, God sees you. And God knows what's going on. And God will come down to you. Notice in verse 13, she says, she called the name of the Lord that spoke to her. Thou seest me. For she said, have I also here looked after him that seeth me? And she gave God a name, El Royo. The God who sees. The God who sees me in my time of despair, in the midst of my turmoil. The thing I like about this story is God, I don't know what all happened here or what happened in Hagar's spirit, but God gave her an incredible peace because the angel of the Lord told her to go back to Abraham and Sarai. And going from what she was dealt with to going back, God must have gave her an awesome peace in her heart. Assurance of God's presence, God being with her. God gave her a peace in her heart that she was able to go back. And the thing that stands out to me about that is, you know, God doesn't always make it better, but he gives us a peace to handle what we're going through. He gives us strength to go through what we're going through. And that's exciting to me. And should be encouraging and strengthening to us all. No matter what we're facing, God sees, God comes down to us, and ministers to us in ways that are beyond our imagination. God also came down to some other people in Scripture. He came down to Moses at the burning bush. He came down on Mount Sinai with the Ten Commandments. He came down when David was chosen king. And a little over 2,000 years ago, he came down to this earth to live a sinless life, to be put to death, to rise again, to empower 12 men to take the gospel around the world. That's the God I know. Not only the God who created, the creator God, but he's the God who sees us. He's the God who comes down to us And he's the God who comforts us in our whatever we're going through. As we ponder who God is and what God is like, who is God to you? Do you know this God as your Savior? Have you named Him as your Savior and Lord? And if you are a Christian, have you fully trusted Him with all your stuff? Those hard times and those moments when you feel inadequate, when life seems hopeless. I hope this story of Hagar gives us strength and gives us the mindset that God sees and God knows what's going on in our lives. And God cares about us. And the message of the gospel, the platform of His life and ministry, was love. The reason He came to earth was love. The reason He comforts us is because of His love. He wants us all to come through to be with Him in glory. I thought of this song. I missed some clicks there. The God who sees us, the God who comes down and ministers to us in times of need. I thought of this song, The Love of God. It's another old hymn of the church. Thinking about who God is and God's love for us and our worship and devotion back to Him. I'd like if we all stand together and sing this song as an offering of worship to our God. The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave His Son to win. His erring child He reconciled and pardoned from his sin. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song. When years of time shall pass away and earthly thrones and kingdoms fall, when men who hear refuse to pray on rocks and hills and mountains call, God's love so sure shall still endure, how measureless and strong. The saints and angels' song. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song. Could we within the oceans fill, and were the skies a parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry. Nor could the scroll contain the whole light to sky. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints and angels. You may be seated. This morning, I don't know where you're at in your walk with God, or if you've never even began a walk with God. And I just want to invite you, if you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior this morning, and you feel God calling you this morning to be a child of His, to be a follower of Jesus, I wanted to give you that opportunity this morning to make a commitment, to stand for Jesus, and to give your heart to the Lord. And if you'd like to do that now, I would welcome that. If you want to stand where you're at, we can pray with you afterwards to accept Jesus as your Savior. Is there anyone here who would like to do that this morning? I remember when I was 14, or 12 to 14 in that age there, I felt Jesus calling me, and I fought, and I fought, and I fought. And I would sit in services like this, and they'd say, "Do you want to accept Jesus as your Savior?" And I'd sit there, and I'd cringe, and I'd fight, and I didn't want to do it for some reason. But it didn't go away. So if you feel God calling you this morning and you want to do it, yeah, I just pray that you will find the strength to say yes to Jesus. Maybe not now, maybe after the service you want to get someone to pray with you. I'd be glad to do that, or Mark, or Galen, or Irvin, just to receive Jesus as your Savior and to begin this walk to learn to know this awesome God that we serve. God bless.